The princess and her ladies have left themselves with no other course but to fight for their principles. We join them now in the courtyard of Castle Adamant as they put the final touches to their preparations for battle.
Spirit, girls. We have to meet stern, bearded warriors in fight today. Wear naught but what is necessary to preserve your dignity before their eyes and give your limbs full play.
One moment, ma'am. Here is a paradox we should not pass without inquiry. We are prone to say, this thing is needful, that superfluous, yet they invariably coexist. We find the needful comprehended in the circle of the grand superfluous, yet the superfluous cannot be bought unless you're amply furnished with the needful. These singular considerations are...
Superfluous yet not needful, so you see the terms may independently exist. Women of adamant, we have to show that woman, educated to the task, can meet man face to face on his own ground and beat him there. Now let us set to work. Where is our lady surgeon?
Madam, here.
We shall require your skill to heal the wounds of those that fall.
What? Heal the wounded?
Yes.
And cut off real live legs and arms?
Of course.
I wouldn't do it for £1,000.
Why, how is this? Are you faint-hearted, girl? You've often cut them off in theory.
In theory, I'll cut them off again with pleasure and as often as you like, but not in practice.
Coward, get you hence. I've craft enough for that, and courage, too. I'll do your work. My fusiliers, advance. Why, you are armed with axes, gilded toys. Where are your rifles, pray?
Why, please you, ma'am, we left them in the armory, for fear that in the heat and turmoil of the fight they might go off.
They might. Oh, craven souls, go off yourselves. Thank heaven I have a heart that quails not at the thought of meeting men. I will discharge your rifles. Off with you. Where's my band, mistress?
Please you, ma'am. The band do not feel well and can't come out today.
Why, this is flat rebellion. I've no time to talk to them just now. But happily I can play several instruments at once. And I will drown the shrieks of those that fall with trumpet music, such as soldiers love. How stand we with respect to gunpowder? My Lady Psyche, you who superintend our laboratory, are you well prepared to blow these bearded rascals into shreds?
Why, madam...
Well?
Let us try gentler means. We can dispense with fulminating grains while we have eyes with which to flash our rage. We can dispense with villainous saltpeter while we have tongues with which to blow them up. We can dispense, in short, with all the arts that brutalize the practical polemist.
I never knew a more dispensing chemist. Away, away, I'll meet these men alone, since all my women have deserted me. So fail my cherished plans. So fails my faith, and with it hope, and all that comes of hope.
Thank you.
father and your brothers claim an audience.
What do they hear?
They come to fight for you. Admit them.
Infamous! One's brothers, ma'am, are men.
So I have heard. But all my women seem to fail me when I need them most. In this emergency, even one's brothers may be turned to use.
My daughter!
Father! Thou art free.
Aye, free. Free as a tethered ass. I come to thee with words from Hildebrand. Those duly given, I must return to black captivity. I'm free so far.
Your message?
Hildebrand is loath to war with women. Pit my sons, my three brave sons, against these popinjays, these tufted jackadandy featherheads, and on the issue let thy hand depend.
Insult on insult's head! Are we a stake for fighting men? What fiend possesses thee that thou hast come with offers such as these from such as he to such a one as I?
I am possessed by the pale devil of a shaking heart. My stubborn will is bent. I dare not face that devilish monarch's black malignity. He tortures me with torments worse than death. I haven't anything to grumble at. He finds out what particular meats I love and gives me them. The very choicest wines, the costliest robes, the richest rooms are mine. He suffers none to thwart my simplest plan and gives strict orders none should contradict me. He's made my life a curse.
My tortured father.
Whene'er I spoke sarcastic joke replete with malice spiteful, this people mild, polite, this smile, and voted me delightful. Now when a wife sits up all night, ill natured jokes devising, and all his wiles are met with smiles, his heart there's no disguising. Ah, oh, don't the days seem lank and long, when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely flat with nothing whatever to grumble at?
Isn't your life extremely flat with nothing whatever to grumble at?
When German bands from music stands played rather imperfectly, I bade them go, they didn't say no, but off they went directly. The organ boys, they stopped the noise with readiness surprising, and grinning herds of hurdy-gurds retired apologizing. Oh, don't they seem lank and long, when all goes right and nothing goes wrong? And isn't your life extremely fat with nothing but ever to grumble at?
Oh, isn't your life extremely fat with nothing but ever to grumble at?
I offered gold in subs and told to all who'd contradict me. I said I'd pay £1 a day to anyone who kicked me. I bribed with toys great vulgar boys to utter something spiteful. But bless you, no, they would be so confoundedly polite. Oh, in short, these aggravating lead, they tickle my taste, they feed my fat. They give me this and they give me that, and I've nothing whatever to grumble at.
Oh, isn't your life extremely flat, and nothing whatever to grumble at?
My poor old father, how he must have suffered. Well, well, I yield. Open the gates.
She yields. I'm saved! I'm saved!
When Angus makes his will, and though she's dark as night, for it is nothing but to fight for it. But dare you pitch your ring, she lays a pretty sight for it. This body soon pitch quite for it. And then you gain his him. And then you gain his him. Oh, another jolly rattle of a noddy and by battle. There's an end of tittle tattle when your enemy is dead. It's an arimony couple. Here's a crack upon his nuddle. And his only finger swaddle in a downy feather bed. Oh, another jolly rattle of a noddy and by battle. There's an end of tittle tattle when your enemy is dead. It's an arimony couple. Here's a crack upon his nuddle. And his only finger swaddle in a downy feather bed.
Cyril, Florian, dressed as women. Is this indeed Hilarion?
Yes, it is.
Why, you look handsome in your women's clothes. Stick to them. Men's attire becomes you not. And you, young ladies, will you please to pray King Hildebrand to set me free again? Hang on his neck and gaze into his eyes. He never could resist a pretty face.
You dog, you'll find, though I wear woman's garb, my sword is long and sharp.
Oh, hush, pretty one. Here's a virago. Here's a termagant. If length and sharpness go for anything, you'll want no sword while you can wag your tongue.
Oh. What need to waste your words on such as he? He's old and crippled.
Aye, but I've 3 sons. Fine fellows, young and muscular and brave. They're well worth talking to. Come, what do you say?
Aye, pretty ones. Engage yourselves with us. If 3 rude warriors affright you not.
Old as you are, I'd wring your shriveled neck if you were not the Princess Ida's father.
If I were not the Princess Ida's father, and so had not her brothers for my sons, no doubt you'd wring my neck in safety, too. Come, come, Hilarion, begin, begin. Give them no quarter, they will give you none. You've this advantage over warriors who kill their country's enemies for pay. You know what you are fighting for. Look there!
This helmet, I suppose, was meant for a ward of blows. It's very hot and weighs a lot, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows, as many a guardsman knows. So up, so up that helmet goes. Tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mass. It's made of steel and weighs a deal. This tight-fitting cuirass is but a useless mass. A man is but an ass who fights in a cuirass. So it's truth to tell, may look uncommon well, but in a fight they're much too tight. They're like a lobster shell. They're like a lobster shell.
Yes, 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 they're like a lobster shell.
These things I treat the same, I quite forget their name. They turn one's legs to cribbage pegs. Their aid I thus disclaim. Their aid I thus disclaim. Though I forget their name, though I forget their name, their aid.
ourselves to you. Ladies, my brothers all lie bleeding there. Bind up their wounds, but look the other way. Is this the end? How say you, Lady Blanche? Can I with dignity my post resign? And if I do, will you then take my place?
To answer this, it's meet that we consult the great potential mysteries. I mean the five subjunctive possibilities. The may, the might, the would, the could, the should. Can you resign? The prince may claim you. If he might, you could. And if you should, I would.
I thought as much. Then to my fate I yield. So ends my cherished scheme. Oh, I had hoped to band all women with my maiden throng and make them all abjure tyrannic man.
A noble aim.
You ridicule it now, King Hildebrand. But if I carried out this glorious scheme, at my exalted name posterity would bow in gratitude.
But pray reflect. If you enlist all women in your cause and make them all abjure tyrannic man, the obvious question then arises, how is this posterity to be provided?
I never thought of that. My Lady Blanche, how do you solve the riddle?
Don't ask me. Abstract philosophy won't answer it. Take him. He is your shall. Give in to fate.
And you desert me. I alone am staunch.
Madam, you placed your trust in woman. Well, woman has failed you utterly. Try man. Give him one chance. It's only fair. Besides, women are far too precious, too divine to try unproven theories upon. Experiments, the proverb says, are made on humble subjects. Try our grosser clay and mold it as you will.
Remember, too, dear madam, if at any time you feel a weary of the prince, you can return to Castle Adamant and rule your girls as heretofore, you know.
And shall I find the Lady Psyche here?
If Cyril, ma'am, does not behave himself, I think you will.
And you, Melissa, shall I find you here?
Madam, however Florian turns out, unhesitatingly I answer no.
Consider this, my love. If your mamma had looked on matters from your point of view, I wish she had, why, where would you have been?
There's an unbounded field of speculation on which I could discourse for hours.
No doubt we will not trouble you. Hilarion, I have been wrong. I see my error now. Take me, Hilarion. We will walk the world yoked in all exercise of noble end, and so through those dark gates across the wild that no man knows. Indeed, I love thee. Come.
With joy abiding, together gliding through life's variety in sweet society, and thus enthroning the love I am owning, on this atoning I will rely.
It's not profanity, not humanity, to treat asperity this way of love. Ignore your parity, your principality is our mortality this way of love.
When day is fading with serenading, and such frivolity of tender quality, with scented showers or fairest flowers, the happy hours will gaily fly. The happy hours will gaily fly.
It's work of vanity, work of humanity, to treat as vanity the sway of love. In no locality or principality,
it's empty chores of fairest hours, the happy
recorded performance of Princess Ida by W.S. Gilbert and Arthur Sullivan, the cast was as follows. The part of King Hildebrand was sung by Donald Frankie and spoken by Jack May. Hilarion was sung by John Wakefield and spoken by Barry Ingham. Cyril was sung by John Fryatt and spoken by John Badley. And Florian was played by Dennis Quilly. King Garma was sung by George Baker and spoken by Timothy West. And his son Arak was sung by Forbes Robinson. Princess Ida was sung by Jeanette Sinclair and spoken by Prunella Scales. Lady Blanche was sung by Monica Sinclair and spoken by Mary Wimbush. And Lady Psyche was sung by Patricia Kern and spoken by Dorrit Wells. Melissa was played by Patricia Routledge, Saccharissa by Pamela Binns, and Chloe by Karen Ford. You also heard the John McCarthy Singers and the BBC Concert Orchestra leader Arthur Levins. The performance was conducted by Stanford Robinson and produced by Michael Moores and Peter Bryant.